Just go ahead and read this entire psalm. It's a beautiful psalm. And 11 verses. The 16th psalm. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names unto my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity we have to gather here tonight, Lord, and hear the preaching of your word. It's been good to sing together. It was wonderful to listen to the special music and even to be able to participate in the honor of the offering, of being able to give back to you what you've so graciously given to us. It's good before church. It's good after church. We need the fellowship. We need the encouragement. But Lord, the centerpiece always here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church needs to revolve around the preaching of the Word of God. And so, Lord, as we stand with our Bibles open now, hopefully, Lord, also, please have us open our hearts. And, Lord, we don't want to just have this to be another exercise, another exercise of duty, but we want, Lord, it to be a delight. So I pray, Lord, that you'd stir us in a special way, in a wonderful way today, Lord, as we preach the Word of God. And thank you for Brother Johnson. Thank you for all that we heard this morning. Bless him, his wife, Lord, be with their little baby girl. I pray even now, Lord, she's already feeling much better. I pray for Brother Dallas, Lord. It was good to shake his hand. It was good to pray with him this afternoon. It was good to spend a little time there. But I pray, Lord, that you'd be with him and Sister Maxine in a special way. Even now, Lord, may they be aware of our prayers and our love. Lord, may they feel that, know that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. I think you're going to enjoy, especially the introduction. I think it'll also be educational. I want to preach on this subject. Let me draw your attention back, please, to verse number 6. Psalm 16, verse 6. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. And I'm going to preach on this subject, the importance of a missions heritage. The importance of a missions heritage. And I want to spend a little bit of time taking you on a guided tour for a little while back through the pages of history, back through the years to the birth of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I think one of the real prizes, one of the real treasures, and by the way, I want to go ahead and let's make a note of this because I think I'm going to tweak some interest in this. But on our 30th anniversary, which, by the way, next year in 08, we'll celebrate the 35th anniversary of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But on our 30th anniversary, we published and passed out a summary history of the church. One of the real blessings, and I guess we treasure it more as the years go by, is Sister Anita Swaby, during the early years of our church, stopped and recorded down for us a short, it says a brief history. She wrote down a first year history, a second year history, a third year history, and then at the fifth year, she wrote a fifth year history. And you don't probably at the time realize maybe the value of it, but as the years go by, you understand more the value of these types of things. I'm going to say some things. I want you to pay attention. What I'm going to say here is not just for the people that were here during those years. I'm going to explain that to you in just a minute. But in the first year of history of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, it's just a fascinating read. The summary, the short little page summary of what happened in the first year is really a very, very interesting read. You see, young people, listen to me. You're not going to appreciate being an American if you don't study some American history. I think the more American history you study, probably the more you'll appreciate your heritage, because you have a heritage, a national heritage. I think you'll appreciate it more. I think if I was a member here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I think I'd study a little of the history. And we'll make these available. If you don't have a copy of these, I'll just make it available. This isn't the Bible. And, you know, but at the same time, it's interesting and it's important to understand your roots. Many of you, and some of you in this room, have done it yourself, are busy looking into your ancestral history. And perhaps you'll have a little bit more appreciation for great-grandma and great-grandpa and those that went before you. You know, a lot of people made a lot of drastic moves and life changes down the lineage of your ancestry to allow you to be in the place and at the time that you are enjoying the things that you now enjoy. And a lot of them paid great sacrifice for that. And you know what? We can kind of just go through life thinking, you know what? Boy, history started the day we were born. It's going to end the day we die. No, that's not true. And a lot of folks before you in your family, well, you're probably not going to appreciate that if you don't study that a little bit. And let me say this. Here at the church, we have a heritage. This church has given us and has for us a heritage. And one of the parts of that heritage revolves around missions. And we're preaching on missions this month. And so I'm going to highlight that, but I want to spend a little bit of time just giving you some background on the church, a little bit about the heritage that we have. I'm not going to read all this, but let me just read some excerpts out of the first year history given out at the first anniversary of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. They celebrated the anniversary on May 12th, 1974, and this was given out to the congregation on May 12th, 1974. And it begins by saying this, "And he goeth up to a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him." Mark 3:13. God calls us into the mountain to do his work. Because the work is for the Lord, it becomes a blessed privilege. God gave a group of people who later became Blessed Hope Baptist Church the first mountain to climb on May 13, 1973. Our climb for the Lord began in the unfinished living room of Mr. and Mrs. Bob Swaby. Over 50 people came to worship that first Sunday, and soon after, an independent fundamental New Testament Baptist church was formed, dependent only on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his holy word. In the first morning's worship service, Brother Bob Ross preached God's message to us and said that we must always look ahead and never look back. He preached out of Psalms 121, 1 and 2. Watch this. "On that first Sunday, a soul received Jesus as their personal Savior. Praise the Lord." By the way, what I'm reading to you is your heritage. You say, "Well, Brother Jerry, I wasn't there." It's still your heritage. You weren't there three or four or five generations ago. You weren't there three or four or five generations ago when your great-great-great-grandparents made some moves into some decisions either. But it doesn't make it any less your heritage. Are you listening to me? "Well, if it didn't happen in my lifetime or since I've been here, then it has nothing to do with me." That's not true. That's what a heritage is all about. A heritage is understanding that what you now have has been handed down, and you ought to go back and look at what that heritage is and appreciate that, and then seek to maximize the things you've been given. So what this tells me is part of our heritage is to preach the Bible and expect people to get saved. You know, the same thing that happened on this first Sunday happens on a regular basis at Blessed Hope Baptist Church today. That gives me an assurance that we have not dropped the ball yet. That we, you know, listen, it ought to be a common thing for people to walk the aisle at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It happened on the very first Sunday this church ever met together, and it still ought to happen on a regular basis here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Amen. That's part of our heritage. Isn't that exciting? In the first year of scaling the mountain, over 20 people were saved and 17 baptized, and 50 people were led to join the local church to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that tells me that baptizing our converts is part of our heritage. Now, I know all these things go way beyond the history of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I know that they are a biblical heritage also, But thank God that it's also a part of our church heritage. That means what we saw this morning, Sister Marissa coming and getting baptized, ought not to be an unusual thing at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It ought to be part of our heritage. People being saved, people being baptized, people joining the church. Let me encourage you, if you've been saved and baptized and you have not yet made that next step to join the church, you ought to join Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You ought to make that's part of the growth process. That's part of our heritage. That's part of what you ought to do. You ought to be a member here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And so we see that as part of our heritage. The Sunday school attendance grew from an average of 38 to 44 in the first year. Morning worship service grew from 53 to 58. And that tells me again that church growth is part of our heritage. Folks, listen to me. Sometimes we get such a knee-jerk reaction. We've become, you know what it is? We've listened to too many deadhead preachers. We get such a knee-jerk reaction. And for anybody talks about a spring attendance push or trying to increase the attendance, and next thing you know, a bunch of lazy people that don't want to get out and do anything start talking about numbers, numbers. That's all he's worried about. Well, why don't you just tell the truth? I'm in your tater patch, and I'm plowing, and you don't like it. It's easier to sit and sulk and be satisfied than it is to do what it takes to see a church go forward. Our heritage is the heritage of church growth. By the way, you ought to look at this because it'll astound you, and in some ways it ought to shame us. The average attendance in 1973 was 38. In 74, it was 53. In 1975, the average attendance was 94. That's the second year anniversary, 38 to 94. In 1976, 156. In 1977, 208. That means in the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we went from an average of 38 to an average of 208. You know what? That's part of our heritage. We're part of our heritage. One of the reasons your pastor keeps shaking the place up around here is this. We are at a wonderful place in our time, a very comfortable place. It would be very easy for this church to get complacent right now and to sit here and not go forward and not continue on. We've got a night. Look, the auditorium's pretty full. We've got several ministries. Things are happening. People are getting saved. And so, you know what? Good enough. No, it's not good enough. Work for the night is coming. We must keep going. We must keep reaching. We must keep growing. We ought to do that till Jesus comes. And besides that, it's part of our heritage. And those of us that have studied it and know it and appreciate it want to see it continue. Amen? It says the youth training hour program began in December and averages an attendance of 18. By the way, that's part of our heritage, is that teenagers and young people are important around here. And they're worth investing in, and that they're the future, and that we've got to train, and we've got to reach, and we've got to disciple them. And listen, God ought to be an active part in your life when you are 14 and 15 and 16 and 17 and 18. You shouldn't wait till you're 20, 21, 23, 25 to get serious about God. He ought to be important and prevalent in your life right now. Listen, I love you young people, but I pray for it. This is how I've decided to fight the battle. I'm going to fight it on my knees. I'm not going to talk. You can't talk someone into being spiritual. You can't talk someone into surrender. You can't talk someone into deciding that this Bible is not just for mommy and daddy. But some of you young people, you know what? I'm having a hard time finding a spiritual pulse on you. I am. When you work hard, hard, hard all the time at trying to get away from anything that's spiritual around here, you worry your pastor. It doesn't make me love you any less. It doesn't mean you're any less important to me. But you worry me. And I'm not against you, I'm for you. But you need to understand God wants to be a part of your life right now in your teenage years. Remember, is this biblical? Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. He ought to be big in your life right now. And so that is part of our heritage. Don't get mad at me, get mad at him. Okay? All right, this is what the purpose of the whole message is to tell you it's not my fault, it's Pastor Robert Ross's fault. Right. He started this whole mess, but by the way, it's important that we see this. I think sometimes some things happen, and you know, you hear Pastor Jerry get up and say something, start something, just because I repackage and redirect and do something a little different or try to give something a fresh start, and you think it's something new. It's not something new. If you knew your heritage, it's just an effort to expand what we've always done around here. Amen. And so remember that, okay? We enjoyed 22 pitch-in dinners. Man, those were the days, brother. Amen. By the way, this was because many of these were served when the men worked. You know, we built during that first year. 5 Weenie Roasts, the hayride services held in nursing homes. You know, we just gave some reports about nursing home. Listen, that's part of our heritage here. That's nothing new. That's part of our heritage. This all happened in the first year. Other guest speakers. That's what we have this year. What we're doing this month is part of our heritage, you see. Special Thanksgiving Eve services. That sounds familiar. Many souls saved through witnessing and visitation. That sounds familiar. We continually gain strength and fellowship and comfort from God and each other through much prayer and work. And God blessed and provided each step of the climb. Songbooks, chairs, piano, and a place to meet were provided through the leading of the Lord. A tree stump became a pulpit. An old chest with brown leather was used as the altar. Pie pans were used temporarily for offering plates. And God is so good to us. Labor was given freely by many, and the knowledge of the Lord had given his children was used to serve, repair, and construct many things, including a 28-by-40 building to worship the Lord in. You know, in the very first year of this church, part of our heritage was building buildings. So let me just remind you, this is nothing new. For those of you that just shown up and you've joined a church or you recently came into it, this wasn't the first building project, obviously, that this church has entered into and God has provided and seen through and gone to completion and that people have sacrificed for, not just financially, but showed up and worked and rolled up their sleeves. Folks, what we're about to start, as soon as the weather allows us, is just a part of our heritage. It's just a part of our heritage, you see. And several items were loaned to the new church, including tools to build with, folding chairs, fans for comfort, a child's table and chairs, classes, centerpiece, table, a nursery, furniture, and many helping hands. Donations of money and materials were frequently given. Can I say this? Sacrifice is part of our heritage. You see, folks, what I'm asking you to do is nothing that wasn't done. It's the same thing that the previous generation did so that we could now enjoy what we have. Sacrifice is not a new theme at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Asking people to give above and beyond is not a new theme at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Asking people to make lifestyle-type changes sacrificially so that the Word of God go forward is not anything new. That is part of our heritage here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And if people hadn't have done that, we wouldn't have seen those steps of growth. If people hadn't have done that, we wouldn't have seen the miracles that happened in the early years of this church. And if we forsake our heritage, we'll cease to see the same miracles that they saw. If we forsake our heritage, we'll cease to see the same results, the same miracles that they saw. Boy, isn't that important? Over 100 chairs were bolted to the floor for seats, offering baskets, an attendance board, more songbooks, 5 benches placed in the yard, gravel, shale, and many other things were provided by the Lord through the hands and hearts of the people. Amen. Now, I've said all of these things. By the way, it says, let me just read a couple other things before I get into it. It says here, one of these mountains is coming June 3rd through 9th. This wasn't part of the first year history, but something they were anticipating. When we shall sponsor a big gospel tent revival in Jasonville. You know what? Throwing a tent up and having evangelistic meetings is part of our heritage. And we ought to still have a part of that. We ought to still be involved in that, you see. I already mentioned nursing home services. They have May 27th, 1973, afternoon worship services at the Good Samaritan Rest Home in Jasonville, Indiana, began. And The message was about the locomotive that didn't have any tracks. That was probably you preaching. I don't know if you remember that great message or not, but she's got it in here. So isn't that interesting? And June 5th, 1973, the youth group gave tracks to people at Terre Haute under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. On the way to Terre Haute, the youth stopped at the Taylor Prayer Chapel and asked God to bless the venture to witness for Christ. This was our teenagers back in 1973 heading up to Terre Haute, stopping, you know, the little memorial chapel thing. They stopped there, had a prayer meeting, went on up to Terre Haute and passed out tracts. Listen, this whole thing about sending teenagers out passing out tracts and witnessing, that's just part of our heritage, folks. It's just part of our heritage. Revival services were held with Reverend Lloyd Wages of West Terre Haute bringing the message from God. That's in September of 73. Revivals is part of our heritage. First White Watch Night service, part of our heritage. By the way, can I just say something to young people? I know that these things aren't all necessarily biblical as far, I mean, it's not a command in the Bible to have these things. And there may be some of you coming up that says, I don't know why we still do this, and I'd rather do this. Can I just say something to you? Sometimes it's not a bad idea just to maintain your heritage. I'm just saying that. Sometimes it's just not a, well, I don't see it. Well, maybe if you just hang around long enough, you'll start seeing some things. Well, I'm not going to come to watch night service. I'm not going to come to this. I'm not going to come to that. And you know what? It's up to you. I can't make anybody do anything. But I'm just saying, you'd have more appreciation for what's going on if you understood a little bit about the heritage that is yours. Amen? And weddings. Amen. That was in our heritage, brother. You're carrying that on. Thank you very much for that. February 2nd, 1974. February 10th, 1974. 79 people were present for Broken Heart Sunday. What? You mean you actually had a special Sunday and named it and used some kind of a... This sounds like a promotion gimmick. Well, it must be part of our heritage, amen? You know what, folks? Let me just have some of you take a deep breath and relax a little bit. Let me just share something with you. Having fun a little bit in church is not a sin. Having some things every once in a while that build some excitement's not a sin. I mean, you know, heaven forbid we just shake it up a little bit or do something just to put a little buzz around here. I mean, folks, listen to me. We're human beings. And you know what? We all like something new and different. It generates excitement. Just decide you're for it instead of against it. Amen? And by the way, this is back in 1973. This is how our church started. I can even tell you about Psalms 100 Sunday on November 24th, 1974, where Pastor Bob Ross promised to sing or at least make a joyful noise if we could break the 100 mark in attendance. True to his word, he sang a solo in the morning service. Brother Jerry, some of the things you pull in the pulpit, I just don't think is very dignified. Blame him, all right? Half of you can't, some of you still can't laugh. You can't even smile right now. Good night. Man alive, folks. We don't get to go dancing. We don't go to the movies, at least we shouldn't. We don't go to Las Vegas. We don't do the world's pleasure. We don't laugh here. We're never going to laugh, amen? Loosen up a little bit. Good night. Amen. That was free. Amen. Dr. Gardenhouse, a Jew who has accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, spoke in the morning worship service on March 3rd, 1974. All these things happen. Now let me read this to you because this is where I'm going now. It's good that you understand a little bit about your heritage. It's also good that you understand, and we appreciate the fact that missions and worldwide missions has always been part of our heritage here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Let me read a paragraph that I skipped over. Remember, this is a church with a part-time pastor. This is a church with a pastor who during the first year was still working a full-time job and yet pastoring this fledgling church. 1974, just after our first year anniversary, he, by faith, quit his job and for $175 a week and no benefits besides that, became full-time in the ministry. Amen? Now listen to me. The Lord, this is the first year, though this is before any of that. The Lord has also given us the privilege to help support five missionaries. The Raymond St. John family serving in Liberia. The Dave Fiddler family serving in Bangladesh. The Bruce Ring family, who are preparing to go to Guam, a born-again missionary from International Board of Jewish Missions. By the way, that was Brother Gardenhouse. And we also supported the Gospel Hour, Oliver B. Green's radio ministry. So I want you to think about this, worldwide missions. We supported missionaries. This is in the first year of the church, part of our heritage, part of the decision that was made by the pastor and the people in the very first year was, we are going to get involved in worldwide missions. And as the Church of Corinth did, even out of their poverty, they gave to missions. Even before all of our needs were met, we gave to missions. Even before we had a building, we gave to missions. Now, this may be right, this may be wrong. I'm just telling you, I'm not sure what to think about it, but even before the pastor was full-time, we gave to missions. I'm just saying the group of people decided early, we're going to make it part of what we do here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, supporting and having an impact worldwide. We may just be a little group of 30 or 40 people meeting in a living room in a garage in Midland, but we can still impact the world with the gospel, and we're going to have a part of that. So I want you to think about this. We had we're supporting then a family that went to Liberia, Africa, right? And then Dave Fiddler, who was in Bangladesh. Bruce Ring, who was preparing to go and eventually went to Guam. A missionary that was reaching the Jews for Jesus Christ. And we supported radio. By the way, we support radio ministry now. Brother Russ has asked me, and I don't know when we can do this. I can tell you how I'll know why, when, at the end of the message. I don't know when we can, but Brother Russ has gotten a radio station down in Evansville, and he's covering a good part of southern Indiana and into Kentucky with fantastic Bible preaching, good music. He's asking us to support him. If we choose to do that, and the radio station down the road, if we choose to do that, it's in line with our heritage. Because there's a lot of ways we get the gospel out, you see. Let me say this. The next year, 1974, we took on one more missionary. Do you know who that was? It was a guy by the name of Townsley. Townsley. What's his first name? Jim Townsley. Right, right. And this young buck was crazy enough to think that he could go out to Connecticut, where nobody loves Jesus, nobody wants to get saved, and everybody's Catholic, and go start a church. And guess who was one of the first churches that signed on and got behind this guy and said, you know what, let's support him so he can go out full time and try to start a church in Connecticut. That was Blessed Hope Baptist Church in 1974. So we were into church planting. Are you getting this? It's part of our heritage. Brother Jerry, I don't know about some of this new stuff. It's not new stuff. The Judea Project's not new stuff. Okay, the radio, supporting the radio station isn't new stuff. Radio broadcast, it's not new stuff. By the end of 1974, this man was on the radio every single... It's not new stuff. Okay, it's part of our heritage. It's part of what we've always done, amen? And so it's exciting. Worldwide missions is part of our heritage. Supporting people to go to foreign countries is part of our heritage. Young people, are you listening to me? Part of your heritage here at your church is to get behind a missions program, to sacrifice to send missionaries, to sacrifice so that people can go to places where we can't go and deliver the gospel to people that we'll never meet till we get to heaven. That's part of our heritage. We ought to be thankful and thrilled and happy that we attend a church and are part of a church that has a missionary heritage, that has a worldwide missions heritage. Now let me talk to you a little bit about the importance of a heritage, and especially about our missions heritage. Number one, a missions heritage should be appreciated. Number one, a missions heritage should be appreciated. Now, if you're going to appreciate your missions heritage and your missionary effort heritage, then you have to, I think, become aware of it. How do I appreciate my missions heritage and the heritage of Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Well, to appreciate it, as I've already said, it must be studied. You must be educated. You must understand that long before Pastor Jerry, and by the way, the end of next week, we're going to do this. We're going to ask you to again consider to increase your weekly or monthly sacrifice that you make towards missions. I'm not shy about that one bit. I wouldn't ask you to do anything that I'm not willing to do. I think we've got to be very careful about just becoming complacent. There's more that we need to do in reaching the world. But let me say this to you. I'm not the first preacher, nor is this the first year, or last year was the first year that people have been challenged to sacrifice so that missionaries can go to the mission field. This started way back in 1973, and this is a part of our heritage. God's people giving extra offerings beyond the tithes and offering so that we can send missionaries is part of our heritage. It's part of our heritage, you see. So it must be studied. And let me give you this. I think it also must be personalized. Now let me say a word to you about this. A mission heritage, in order to be appreciated, must be personalized. Say, well, Brother Jerry, you read this history, and that's fine for the people that were there, but that's not my heritage. It is your heritage. Now, this is something you need to get. It is your heritage. I don't care if you just joined Blessed Hope Baptist Church a week ago. What you did was you joined into this church, and therefore our heritage becomes your heritage. See, I believe you were sent here. I believe you were sent here for a reason. I mean, I've talked to several folks. I've talked to Sister Jerry Sexton, we spent probably an hour here a while back talking in the office. God did an enormous work in this lady's heart to get her to the point where she was willing to walk in this door and look around and say, this is where I want my son. This is where I need to become a member. And God did a huge work in her life. The minute she joined our church, every bit of the heritage, Brother Charles, the heritage that me and you share at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and that Pastor shares, it's as much her heritage as it is our heritage. And just because we were here from day one doesn't make it any less her heritage. I already mentioned that about, you know what? Okay, I was born in August 30th, 1961. So would I be right in saying that any ancestral heritage that I had before that was unimportant to me or didn't affect me? Good night. It sure it does. Just because I wasn't alive when great-great-great-grandpa came over on the Mayflower or swam across the river or whatever he did to get to America, just because I wasn't there doesn't mean that that's not an important part of my life and that I ought to personalize that and understand that and recognize that and say, you know what, there's some things that made this and has made this church what it is, and there's some, and listen, if we start leaving those things, or we stop going in that direction that we started to go, we're not going to end up where we are now, you see. So I think it needs to be personalized. This is what I'm saying. I want every single person in this church, that's a member of this church, to feel like that the heritage that I've just talked about is just as much yours as it is mine. And just as much yours as it is the English's. Just as much yours as it is Pastor Ross. Well, I wasn't here, but you still, by coming here, you have inherited the heritage. Now understand it. Get it. You know, here's a danger. Sometimes we'll leave a liberal situation and come to a fundamental church because something's happening, but sometimes we want to bring our liberal baggage with us. If you're not careful, you know, we didn't do it the other place, then why didn't you stay there? No, honestly, why didn't you stay there? There's folks in this church that's joined over the years that God just wouldn't let them. I don't understand people. I'll just tell you this. It's between me, you, and the fence post. Nobody's here and outside these walls. But I don't know why people that are truly born again stay in a dead liberal church. I don't understand it. They say, well, Grandma's buried out back, and I can't. Well, dig her up and bring her with you. I mean, the reasons we'll stay in some dead church where there's never a soul saved, there's never a miracle, there's no missions effort, there's nobody getting saved, there's nothing happening, but you know, just because great-great-grandpa was a deacon here and he helped build this building, so I'm going to sit here even though the Holy Spirit left years ago, and we got a liberal in the pulpit with the wrong kind of Bible, and no one ever gets saved, but you know what? Great-great-grandpa, I don't want him. By the way, you ought to go back and study the history of that church. I guarantee you the history of that church, probably most churches in their birth, was born out of revival. And if great-great-grandpa could come back and sit in that church for one Sunday, he'd grab you by the ear and drag you out of that church. Amen, you see. You see, a mission's heritage should be appreciated. And I want it to be a part of what you enjoy. I want you to understand it. I want you to study it. I want you to get on board with it. Listen, there's some foundational things, folks. And we didn't know everything. Pastor will be very honest about you. We felt our way through. He felt his way through. This young congregation, these young people felt their way through. And we evolved into what we are. But I'm telling you, foundationally, they set some standards that we ought not to ignore. Listen, that church was born out of adversity. They turned their back on some liberal thinking and liberal ways and said, you know what? We've got to go forward if we're going to reach people, and we've got to get back to the book of Acts, and we've got to get back to the old paths. And listen, during a time in our history, think about the 70s, 60s, and 70s. During a time in our history when the nation was going very liberal, when the nation was throwing off the constraints and the teachings of grandma and grandpa, there was a rebirthing of a fundamental work, fundamental ideas. Let's get back to the Bible. Let's get back to the old paths. Let's not follow the ways of the world. And that those group of people in those churches that made that decision probably extended the mercy of God onto this nation for the next couple generations. Now, if we're not careful, listen,
You say, oh, it's not 1973. I wasn't even born there. Yeah, but I guarantee you that the world's not getting any better, and it's becoming more liberal, and it's going to become more important for a new generation within the church house to stand up and say, you know what, let's recommit to the old paths. I mean, folks, everything that glitters isn't gold, and everything that's new just because it seems to be working isn't biblical, and we need to stick to the old paths. Let's go look at our heritage, you see, and we have a missions heritage. I can't forsake that. I can't, as your pastor, forsake that. Brother Jerry, it's all going on. Why have a missions emphasis month? Because it's part of our heritage. Because the day that we decide that we've done enough in missions, maybe God will decide He's done enough with us. Because there's too many people. I just wish for sometimes for 1 week you could sit in there and all I'd ask you to do is just take the calls. Just sit in there in the office. All I'll do is forward the calls to you of all the missionaries that are calling just wanting to book a meeting. Just trying to get on the field. What I'm saying is, you know, they say, well, there's nobody going to the mission field. Well, come to my office. I think there's people going to the mission field. I just think it's taking them too long to get there. I think too many churches like ours in the 60s and 70s that used to be wholly committed to missions have just decided at some point we've done enough, we've got enough, we don't need to do any more. Besides that, we need to pad the pews, and we need to get the gymnasium done, and we need to buy softball equipment, and we need to start our league, and we need to do this, and we need to do that. And it's all become about us, and we've lost the vision of worldwide missions, you see. Number two, a mission's heritage should be protected. I think I just preached that point. You see, folks, the shift right now in fundamental churches is from an outward vision to an inward selfishness. Let me say that again. The shift right now in fundamental churches across our nation is from an outward vision, where we used to have an outward vision, now it's turned into an inward selfishness. And what we've decided, that all of our little pet projects that makes things a little nicer, a little more fun for us, is more important than putting missionaries on the field. Now, folks, I know that we have to do things around here, because if we don't take care of home, then the base camp is in trouble. Listen, those that are outside sent from the base camp are in trouble. And the church does need to grow, and we do need to fund a certain number of funds. But we can't decide. Listen, you know, I talked to a missionary by the name of Brother Ferguson. I think 3 or 4 months from now he's going to stop in here. And he said to me, he said, I've gone to churches. He said, I was in one church, and he said, the preacher just said, well, I'll let you come, but I'll tell you right now, we're not going to take you on this year. And he said, okay. He said, are you taking on any missionaries? No. Nope. He said, we decided all the extra money we're going to have this year, we're going to replace the carpet in the auditorium. Now, I understand that carpet needs to be replaced in the auditorium. Brother Ferguson said, I kind of looked around, and he said, the carpet looked good and was fairly new. And he said, brother, it looks pretty good. And he said, I know, but some of the ladies wanted to redecorate, and it just doesn't work with our colors, so we're going to spend the money that we get extra because we want to redo it just so we can do a new color scheme. And I sat there and think to myself, brother, I'll change the paint color. I mean, you know, I understand there's a balance here, folks. I understand if we don't maintain what we have. I understand things have to be upgraded. I'm not against any of that. But what I am saying is we've just had this shift where all the money wants to be spent to make things nicer for us and not to get the gospel out to the ends of the earth. We've got to be so careful about this. So what I have dedicated myself to, and this is long way back, folks, when Pastor Jerry Ross first took the helm here, when this church voted me in, there's some things I, on my own, in the privacy of my heart, dedicated my life to protect in this church, and one of them is our missions heritage. I think we need to go forward in missions, which brings me to my third and last point. Number one, a mission heritage should be appreciated, a missions heritage should be protected, and a missions heritage should be expanded. Should be expanded. Now listen to me very carefully what I'm going to say. I think it's a great danger to receive a wonderful heritage and then just sit there on it and not do anything with it. I think it's a very dangerous thing to accept something and then not go forward with it. It's like somebody that's running a relay race. Remember those boys I had running the relay race here one night? And it's like for 3 legs they've run hard and they've handed the baton off. And the last guy comes around here, and it's the final lap. And I think we're in the final lap. I think we're in the final lap. And all of a sudden, the church that's in the final lap gets handed the baton. And we decide, you know what? we'll just live on what's already been done. Enough effort's been put in. Things are comfortable. Things are nice. We're not going to push forward. And they decide just to play around with the baton and goof around and not go forward and finish the race. That's why that verse in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, talks to us about the cloud of witnesses and the responsibility then. Why is those two things connected? The cloud of witnesses and running the race. You know why? Because the race wasn't invented the day me and you got saved. The race has been going on for 2,000 years. And there's been generations of people that's run before us. Sacrifices, stood for some things and been solid in some areas and sacrificed to see things happen. And right now they're up above us. They're now in heaven. They can't run anymore. But they're hollering down to us, run, run, run. And you know what we're doing to a large extent? Sit, sit, sit. You see, so we got to understand that there's something important going on here. Right now in the history of this church, we need to be continuing what we were handed. We need to be not just maintaining what we've been handed, but expanding what we've been handed and going farther with it than has ever gone before. And I like that. You see, we've got to be very careful. Let me read you a little clip about a church, a real church, a local church, in the book of Revelation. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Did you get that? Here's a church that had a name, a reputation that they lived, but they were dead. You know what this church did? A generation came up in this church that decided they'd live on the reputation and the work of the previous generations. Are we there, Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Are we there? Have we decided that we like the way the community views us and we like what we have accomplished and we like what we have built and we like having 38 missionaries? But you know what? That's good. Let's put it on cruise control and wait for Jesus to come. Brother Tom led us in two songs in the latter part of the service. I like both of them. I think God led him. Number one was Higher Ground. It was the third song sung. Higher Ground. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. By the way, I like those kind of songs being sung in church. The second song was I Want That Mountain. Now tell me how either one of those two songs teach us anything about complacency, about the fact that we're just far enough and we've done enough and we've gave enough and we've sacrificed enough, and so why didn't he just leave us alone? Things are going all right. Are you getting this? Let me tell you a song I don't like. They sang it the other night at the revival. I mean, I'm not going to stop. And if we sing it here, you won't hear me complain, and I'll sing it, but I don't like it. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Now, I'm sorry. I know that was some of your favorite song. I'm just ruining your night. I don't like it. I'm sorry. I don't like it. You know, talking about how we're hiding in this fort, and we're waving our Bibles to heaven, saying, we're going to hold on till you come, Jesus, hunkering down behind the wall, just trying to keep the devil from breaking the door down and taking what we've got. The Bible doesn't say to hold the fort. The Bible says, charge the gates. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Now watch this, because it's a very important mindset. Has Blessed Hope Baptist Church got to the point where we've got a hold the fort mentality instead of a higher ground mentality? Do we have a hold the fort mentality instead of a I want that mountain mentality? Where are the young people? Where are the young couples that say, you know what, I've got a burden to reach an area. I've got a burden to build a bus route. I've got a burden to start a new ministry. I've got a burden to expand what I've been handed that's already here. I want to take it to another level. We cannot have a let's just maintain an attitude and wait for Jesus to come. And so we ought to expand our mission's heritage, expand our mission's heritage. And I think that that has to begin with each and every one of us. Say, how can we expand our mission's heritage? I think that every year we ought to revisit our financial commitment to missions. I'm talking about personally each and every one. I think that we ought to do this. I think this year, oh, Brother Jerry, this is building fund year. It's also missions year. It's always missions year. It's always going to be missions year. Missions isn't going to go on a back burner. Missions is going to stay in the forefront. I've looked at it already. I've already decided to increase my giving, my weekly commitment to missions at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Well, I think that ought to go to the building fund. You know what? It's none of your business. It's my money. Stay out of my business. By the way, I like the way the Lord blesses me. I like the way the Lord blesses my family. I like the financial situation. Thank you very much. I think I'll just keep working a plan that works. I'm not going to make excuses not to give more. I'm going to figure out a way to give more because I like what happens when I give more. Amen. You see, so I think everybody's got to revisit that. I think we need to take a look at this. Folks, God's going to hold us accountable for what we heard in January. God's going to hold us accountable. I'm not going to make this a bully pulpit. I'm not going to make this a hobby horse. Your pastor's not going to be always preaching on money. But I'm telling you, we need revival. We need non-tithers to start tithing. Non-offering givers to start giving offerings. People that aren't involved in missions giving to start getting involved in it. And people that still, after a year, still haven't got on board giving a weekly or a monthly commitment to building fund, get on it. I'm just telling you, it'll change your life. It'll make you a happy Christian instead of an old grump. You're going to start getting excited about... When you hear those missions letters read, you're going to sit out there with a big smile on your face. You know why? Because everything you're hearing read about, you got a part of it. Amen. So we got to expand that. You say, but Brother Jared, we give 17% of our tithes and offerings goes to missions. That's wonderful. That's good. And that's what we've been handed. Thank you. That's what we've been handed. Now what are we going to do? Just be satisfied with it? So are you wanting to raise the percentage? No, I am. I want you to raise the percentage, but I want you to just do it through the missions envelopes. I want you to do it personally. I want it to be more personal with you. See, you give a tithe and offering. I'm not against it. This is great. This has maintained and helped us and grown our mission program. But folks, listen to me. I want to become personal with you. I want you to find areas and ways to increase missions giving like you never have before. Amen. I want you to go out on a limb for Jesus a little bit. I want you and your family to go out on a limb a little bit. I want you to become a part of your family and a function of your family life. Man, let's give to missions. Let's give to missions. Amen. So let's revisit our financial commitment. Let's find new ways to pray for our missionaries. You know what? Brother Johnson gave you a great, great idea this morning if you heard it. Say, Brother Jerry, I don't have a missions card from every one of them. Well, come on. You can get creative, can't you? We've got a missionary list. We pass it out to you every single week on the prayer list, on the front page is a missionary list. I think you probably just take that paper and do it. If you got the missionary cards, that's right. Or you could get index cards and write on there the missionary's name if you need to have a card. You know, if it's always up to me to get something for you to start something, you're never starting it. You're just looking for an excuse not to start it. Amen. You can find a way. We provide you with tools necessary right now to daily pray for our missionaries. Would you make a new commitment to that? Did you hear Brother Johnson? Did you hear Brother Tillman? Did you hear Brother DeLong? All three of them, the one thing that they emphasized, every one of them said this, please pray for us. Please pray for us. Please pray for us. Folks, I know we think, well, they're supposed to say, whether you support me or not, I need your prayer. No, you've not been there. You don't understand. I don't really understand. The satanic attacks on the mission field is unbelievable. And we have to pray for our missionaries. So let's revisit our financial commitment. Let's up and revisit the way that we're offering prayer support, financial support, prayer support. Let's send, watch this, let's send our money, let's send our prayers, and let's be willing to send our children. Hey, Brother Jerry, what do you see at this point in time of Blessed Hope Baptist Church that needs to be expanded? I see a heritage where we've been willing to send our money, a heritage where we've been willing to send our prayers, but I don't see a strong heritage of us willing to send our children. For some reason, it's not getting across to this group right here. Brother Casper came to me and mentioned the impression that having Michelle Bass made on Johanna here and how her heart was touched. She said, Brother Jerry, why would you bring this girl in and park her down here and feed her and provide her housing and give her a love gift? So she can walk in here and teach, because I'm trying to expand. I'm trying to get our young people to become missionary minded. I want to see us, you know, but that's the great question that Brother Jeremy Rands asked me, the great question that Brother Dutry asked me. Brother Jerry, how come we'll send our money but we won't send our kids? I can't get away from that question. That message I preached last Sunday night, folks, you ought to buy that tape and listen over and over and over until you stop being mad about it and start being glad about it and start figuring out that there's a lot of things that were said last Sunday night that needed to be said, that ought to have been said, and it needs to be heeded here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Amen. Young people, listen to me. We need you to serve God. God needs reinforcements right now. If it's not going to come out of a church like Blessed Hope Baptist Church, pray tell, where's God going to get them? Out of the liberal churches? So we've got to expand this, even within our own church, the efforts to get our children back to being ministry-minded instead of materialistic-minded. I guarantee you God wants to reach down and touch some of these young people's life and send them into full-time Christian service. I guarantee you, and I'm not trying to call anybody, but I just know the Bible enough to know that God's in the full-time calling business. Never has our nation, Brother Derek, needed young people more than it needs right now. So I want you young men, all of you, by the way, God bless you guys. It's just good to see some young men right up here on the front row. God's not going to call all of you. May not call all of you into full-time service. But you know what? You ought to be willing and open to that and tell the Lord that if He does call you, Lord, if You'll call me or if You do call me, I'll go. I'll go wherever You want me to go. I'll do whatever You want me to do, Lord. Your will is more important than anything else in the world. You young ladies, that ought to be important to you. You ought to be open-hearted about that. You know, and allow God to use your life, to use your life. I've mentioned this, but I'm going to say it in closing. If we were to get in a car and we were to take a tour of this area and we were to drive by some churches that are just dead as a doornail, you walk in there and all you see is gray-headed people. And by the way, thank God for our elderly folks, but if all you've got in a church is elderly folks, you're in a dying church. If you went and found these little churches and you got into their history books, if you went and did some research, you know what you'd find out? They weren't always that way. Most of them, I'm talking about most of the Baptist churches in this area and a lot of the other denominational churches in this area, were at one time absolutely a hot spot of evangelism and revival and fervency, and man, let's do it. That is their heritage. What happened? What happened, Brother Jerry? They came to the same crossroad that Blessed Hope Baptist Church is at right now. And by the way, the decline and the demise doesn't happen overnight. But the cancer of spiritual, the cancer of being satisfied, the cancer of we are doing enough, the cancer of you know what, I'm not going to be moved, I'm not going to be stirred. Every time there's a new program introduced, I'm just, oh, here we go again. That starts coming into a church. And you know what, it may not happen the first year, it may not happen the second year, but I guarantee it won't be very long. And you'll watch that thing start going down, and pretty soon, a generation from now or two generations from now, they'll drive by this complex and they'll say, man, you ought to have seen that church back in the... You won't believe what that church used to... See way back there in the corner of the property, you see that old rusty red bus? They used to have a whole fleet of them things going everywhere. Walk in here. See that hallway? It used to be Missionary Hall. Now it's just got posters of contemporary rock groups that are coming in. Well, they used to have three different children's churches running at one time during the Sunday morning service. Now, you know what? You walk in there, you can't find any children. Young couples look at me and I'm done. Brother Charles has run hard. Pastors run hard. Some of these older men have run hard. They've built buildings. They've built buildings. They've sacrificed for ministries. They've sacrificed for missions. They've driven buses. They built bus routes. They built a church. Guess what? Physically, they can't do it anymore. That's your heritage. That's your heritage. Now it's yours. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Heavenly Father, thank You for meeting with us tonight, Lord. It's been an exciting month, and I've been so blessed to just be here. This is an exciting, exciting time. Thank You, Lord, that what we are doing this month is simply a continuation of what's always been done here. Oh, it may be formatted a little differently. We may be taking a little bit different approach. But
it's just a continuation of what's always been done. Lord, I can't bring these missionaries through here without my heart burning. I can't just dismiss them as they walk out the door and give them a love gift and a pat on the back and see you later and not still be haunted by the need to send some of these people to the mission field. Lord, I know that there's things that need to be done here at the home base. We do need to raise money for a building program. We need to get this thing up and done. We got a lot of work to do this year. But Lord, I don't want to lose the emphasis, the heritage that you've given us. So I pray, Lord, that you would please broaden our vision. Help us to lift up our eyes into the fields that are wide unto harvest. Help us to broaden our vision, each one personally. Because, Lord, the financing of missionaries isn't done by one or two individuals. It's done by a group of people who all sacrifice. Maybe not equal amounts, but equal sacrifice. All of us coming to our God and saying, what can we do? What can we do? How can we increase? And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, to do these very things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.